If you would, find the passage, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Let me read it to you. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time." Verse 7, "Casting all your care on him." As a main reason why, because he cares about you. Let's bow before the Father, will you? Let's tell the Father that we love him today from our heart to his heart. We gather to celebrate his son, the cross, the resurrection of Jesus. And we let the Father know that we love him. And then we move to being grateful, to being thankful. We will hit that again in the sermon today, of the importance of that. Who the Lord is, what he does, how he leads us through, what he reveals to us. We take a moment and pray for other people who overlap into our life. Some are grieving, some have physical illnesses, disease. Some are in need of Christian friends, relationships. Some are in need of financial direction and help. Some are dealing with emotional weight. They carry the woundedness and the weight of that woundedness. Whatever those people are, whatever they're going through, take a moment and lift them up today. Let's remember them and give them to our Heavenly Father. We pray for the nations continually. No matter what size church you are, we're called to the nations. And we pray for the sweeping of God's Spirit and movement. He's done it in biblical history, recent history. He's doing it now in certain areas of the world. We certainly pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We continue to pray that. We're mandated by Scripture to do that. It says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem and God may find favor with you. We pray for what's going on with Iraq and what's going on in Israel and Gaza, what's going on now with the United States. And we just pray for the gospel to be saturated. The only thing that's going to change people's lives is the truth of who Christ is and why he is here and why he came. And in the midst of all that's going on, just pray for the saturation of the gospel. Pray that over us and our own nation, that our hearts would return to him again. I get that from Elijah and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, where it said, and God, the fire of God fell, and it said their hearts will return to him once again. We pray for that upon us. Would you pray for those who are around you, a blessing over them, literally sitting around you today? Pray for your family, a blessing over them wherever they may be. Some of you have given, you brought offering today, you've sent offering electronically or even by mail. Ask the Lord to bless it. We use it to invest into the advancement of the kingdom and the gospel message. And then remember, above all that, you're a greater blessing and you're here today. Ask the Lord to use you and to send you. He can and he will and he does. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you look at all of us today. You see me differently. I'm your teacher, your preacher. On me is a greater and a more strict judgment than anybody in the room. Frankly, you're harder on me than you are anybody here. I know that, and I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. It's good to see you. And please recognize that one of the blessings today is you get to freeze to death out there in the audience, okay? As hot as it's going to be, and it's going to be over the next few days. Just remember, it's not as cool temperature-wise up here as it is down there. So enjoy. Some of you tell me how much you freeze, and so just freeze away today, okay? I felt the need to come back to this. This is something we teach in our church on a regular basis. We teach four invitations of the Lord, and those four invitations are come to me. That we find in Matthew, where the Lord says, I've got a little ring up here, Jimmy, if you can, he says to come to me, all you weary and heavy laden. There's an invitation. There's an invitation for you to call to him through the prophet Jeremiah, call to me and I will answer you. Today, we're going to just reemphasize casting our anxieties toward him. And then we read from John where he says, 1 John, to confess to him. So the invitations are come to me, call to me, cast to me, and confess to me. I wanted to hit this one again today. There's a lot going on in our world, a lot in our lives. It seems we're busier all the time. I say that a lot, but I say that a lot because it seems we get more and more busy. And one of the things that can happen is when we're busy is we forget to go to him. And it just becomes a real simple Sunday school reminder today is don't forget to go to him. He intends for you to come to him. It's all designed for you to come to him and to be able to cast to him things that you're going. It's not his desire for you to carry your burdens alone. It's not a part of the design of God in our life. So in looking at 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, I want you to look at verse 6 for just a moment. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time. The picture of humbling is that there's an accepting that I'm lower than, that God is higher than I am. We've just been singing that right before the sermon. That there is placement. I still got a real bad ring up here, Jimmy, if you can take me down. There is a placement of who he is and who I am and where I am. There's a submitting to him where we just really submit to him of how important that is. I've said this to you many times as your pastor, as a shepherd, and that is out of Colossians 1. Remember, he has first place. He's the preeminence of God. You've heard me say it a million times. He's not second place. He's not top five. He's either number one in your life or he's nothing in your life. Just the way it is. You're either for him or against him. You either drink from the cup of the Lord or you drink from the cup of demons. There is no middle ground in all this. So I just want to give you a shepherd pastor reminder. As busy as we all get and as much as happening around us today in our nation and in our world, don't forget to go to him. It's a design for you to be able to go to him. So we humble ourselves. We place ourselves and submit ourselves under him. I want you to see another place of submitting is in James 4, 6, and 7. He said, the Lord gives greater grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So humility and moving in a humble place of putting yourself under him is a picture of, it's a grace move. This is the best place for you to be. Verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So the humbling and the submitting there go together. There are three things happening in verse 7, a submission to God, a resisting of the devil, and he will flee from you. We're a people of shortcuts, aren't we? We're just shortcuts. We don't want to do the first one, which if we're going to achieve any of this, we have to do the first one. I want to remind you, you are no match for the devil. I don't care how sharp you are, how big you are, how much you bench press, it doesn't matter. You are no personal match for the enemy. He doesn't have all power, but he does have power. You're no match to him. But the Jesus in you is greater than all of Satan's system and kingdom, all of it. So what we don't approach Satan with, just with our swagger. We come to him having submitted to God. And our shortcut is we want to do number two, resist the devil, and then want number three to happen. He will flee from you when we haven't done the first one, and that is submitting ourselves to God. So when we go back to 1 Peter 5:6, it's a picture of you humble yourself before the Lord. It's placing ourselves under him. Look at 1 Peter 5:5, the verse right before this one. And in 1 Peter 5:5, it says, in the same way, you younger men, be subject to the elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God resists the proud. And he's repeating here, but he gives grace to the humble. Remember, humbling ourselves and submitting ourselves is a beautiful grace move. And we say it when we leave every Sunday morning, grace and peace. Make sure you live in both of them, right? And grace is a picture of you getting what you don't deserve. Yeah. So when we place ourselves under God and we're submitting ourselves under him, it's a grace move. It is, I am receiving what I shouldn't be able to work for or even get in any capacity. It is something that he favors you, and he favors you in an unconditional way. So our submitting to God places under the mighty hand of God. Look at 1 Peter 5:6 again. And I love this place, and we're going to really put a lot of emphasis today where it says under the mighty hand of God, that we're submitting ourselves, we're putting it under his authority, his power, his control. We're doing that. We're trusting him in what's going on in our life. Under the mighty hand of God is a phrase that says he's a delivering God. It's actually a line that is attached to Israel, that he will deliver Israel. And the mighty hand of God is a delivering line for us. As he delivers Israel, he will also deliver us. One of our greatest concerns can go back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. As Eve is being tempted by the devil, they have all these trees they can eat of. And instead of being thankful for all that they can't have, they get focused on the one that they can't have. And the enemy starts working with Eve and Adam by creating this lie. And the lie is that God will hold out on you. God has more to give you, but he's gonna hold out on you. Some of it is referred to as an abandonment lie, meaning God's going to call you into something and then leave you. I'm a good old country boy. I call it a snipe hunting lie. I don't know if you've ever been snipe hunting. If you haven't, you know, everybody needs that initiative, right? And you go out, usually it's to a graveyard. Isn't it crazy that we do this? And you got a sack, and you're holding the sack, and everybody's going to run. So everybody just runs off and leaves you, right? In the graveyard holding the sack. And it's snipe hunting. So if anybody invites you to go snipe hunting, just go ahead and tell them your pastor says no, okay? Don't get into that. But you take your snipe hunting, leave you holding the bag. Or it is, he is holding out on me. And if we're not careful in our busyness, we'll let the enemy help just recycle that lie over and over and over again, is that God is going to hold out on us. When scripture says he's a delivering God, it's the mighty hand of God. We are submitting ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he is a delivering God. It's meant to include him. And then he says, I'll raise you up, and I'll do it at just the right time. I will raise you up. And the mighty hand of God is a picture of deliverance and victory in our life. The enemy never wants us to get there. So he's just going to have me and you not submit to him. He knows if you and I do not submit ourselves under the Lord, in where he has authority and power and control, and he has it whether we submit or not, but we are trusting him with that. We're putting our faith and trust in that. He never wants us to get there. He's going to do everything in the world he can to detour your life to where you're not going to the Lord, calling on the Lord, casting to the Lord, or even confessing to the Lord. That'll happen over and over and over. Look at 1 Peter 5:7 for just a moment. We get into the casting part. It's a picture here, casting. You and I can think about fishing, and that word is used in them, except they didn't have rod and reels, they had nets. And it's also, they rode animals. And it's a picture of putting a blanket on a horse, of throwing it on a horse, that I'm casting all these things. It's a throwing, and it includes trust. I'm giving this to you because I trust you. And I'm giving this to you because you're a delivering God. Your hand is mighty, it's victorious. And I'm giving this to you. We have to walk in this moment by moment all the time, but we have to learn to trust him. When we submit ourselves, we're trusting him. Great life verse for me, my family, Julie, and many of you is Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, everything. And do not rely on your own understanding. Guys, if we don't pay attention to that one, do not rely on your own understanding, we'll get to thinking we can do it alone. We can do it alone. And we'll get to believing more in ourselves than we should. I'm not against you having confidence, but cockiness is a whole other issue. And we'll get to the point where we think we are living it and designing it, and we have the power to be able to control it. In fact, a lot of things with the movements of God do not register with our logic today. It's something that is well beyond our logic or our understanding. He says, don't rely on your own understanding. Verse 6, think about him, the Lord, in all your ways, which we talk about, where you live, work, play, and you learn. You learn, and he will guide you on your right paths. I want to give you some simple things about guiding you on your right paths. We can talk about emotional decisions and spiritual decisions and all that. You get all the bigger stuff. I just want to show you how he guides you on the right paths, even in the smaller stuff. Not too long ago, a few Sundays ago, I grew up partly in Summersville, a little town of 500 people, less now, beautiful little town, wonderful town. And some of my elementary school buddies came, four of them came to church, if you remember, if you were in that service. Then we moved to Campbellsville. Dee knows this, Dee's from Campbellsville. We moved to Campbellsville later on. I grew up more and lived more in Campbellsville than I did anywhere else. But I'm going back to do a revival in the church of where I was saved, in that little town of Summersville. And as I'm talking to them, and we're planning this revival like it's a Billy Graham crusade. I mean, they're just calling me all the time. How can we pray? What can we do? My Sunday school class has all these questions. We want to meet with you on a Saturday and go through all this. And they've already sent me all these lists. And there was a part of me that was excited about going back home. And I realized that to guide you in the right path, I had to watch to make sure that it's not about me going back home and just sharing all these memories that I have of Summersville. That God has brought me back there to preach the gospel and to challenge them with the word of God. And so it's almost weekly, they're sending me stuff. And so I called one of them back and I said, listen, I want you to hold me accountable. I said, I think the right path here, I said, I can't wait to come back home. But I said, don't let me get into all my Jeff Eaton stories. Because I'm a storyteller. You can either amen or oh no, but I am. I know that I am. I was raised with that. I'm a storyteller. That's what I do. But I got to watch that I'm not going back to tell stories, because that's not why he's called me back there. The right direction that I needed for that revival was not to go back there as a homecoming, but to go back there and challenge them with the presence and the person of Christ. And I said, hold me accountable. Don't let me do that. Will you not? Because the Lord was giving me clear decision. This is not about you being back home. This is about you going and leading my people. Do you see what I'm saying? So the right paths can be smaller things, not always these great big things, like how to handle a conflict. You know, the Gospels speak about that. Jesus teaches about that. But then he will guide you in what you need to do to handle those situations. I wanted you to see that. Recently, we were on vacation together, our family, Andrew and his family, Julie and myself and Laura. And Laura flew in, and we had talked about getting a house, everybody together, as is most common for you know, for people to do. And so I got to thinking about it, and I go, I don't know that we all need to be under one roof all the time. Now, I don't know if that's wisdom. I don't know what that is. Maybe the interpretation is Julie and I are older and we're set in our ways. Maybe that's the interpretation to it. But being together all day long, there's a story about a man who's at work and couldn't wait for his vacation, went on his vacation, came back. People said, how was your vacation? He said, have you ever spent 7 days in an SUV with those you thought you loved the most? So I got to thinking about that, and I thought, it's probably going to be best for us to have their place to stay and our place to stay. And that's what we did, and it worked out wonderfully. You know, I'm not saying the others don't. I'm not against you getting one house. I'm just saying in our situation, it's probably the way that it needed to occur. We can have time of being together and then a bit of separation, which meant our time of being together was a bit more enjoyable, right? So I just want you to see how just trusting the Lord and letting him lead your life, and even some of the most common things of your life, he will lead you in the right paths. Just by getting two separate places to stay doesn't mean there's anything wrong. It just meant it helped make it more right. So it is a picture of he'll guide you, not just in the big parts of your life, but he'll guide you even in the small parts of your life. In 1 Peter 5:7, we'll go back there, it is the casting. What are we casting to him? What is it that we cast? Our worries and our doubts and our fears. He says, cast all your care. And the word there means anxiety, the word care. The first one means anxiety. We cast all of our worries and our doubts and our fears. You know, with us participating in the bombing last night, it probably struck up a little bit more of attention to you. What's going on, you know, if we're not involved in it, it's like, well, that's their thing over there. Now we're involved in it to some degree. And it can raise up a lot of questions. It can raise up a lot of negative emotions. Where our nation is and where you think it's going can do the same thing. The busyness of our lives can do the same thing. We have a grandson coming in October, and I'm going, oh my goodness, what kind of a world is this young man going to grow up into? And you may be saying the same thing about your own children or children who are yet to be born. What do we cast? We cast our anxieties, our worries and our doubts and our fears. I believe that anxiety is real. I want you to know that, and that it happens. And I know that in some ways we just want to learn to live with it. But at the same time, I'm a preacher of the gospel. And at the same time, I have to stress the deliverance of the Lord. I have to stress the mighty hand of God. He says that we submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he's a delivering God. And there are times as a pastor that I have, and I will continue, to just tell people, you might need to see your doctor and just go get a physical. You know, let's start there and let's go from there. I've done it. I am doing it. I will continue to be able to do that. We acknowledge that there are mental health issues. And as a church in leadership, we have proper care channels for this type of care to people. And I do suggest people to go get medical advice. But I want to encourage you, I want to include you and encourage you that the love and the care of Christ is there too. Don't walk away from that. That the mighty hand of God is there for you too. And he's a delivering God. And it's just don't leave him out of that. The invitations have come to me, called to me, cast to me, and confessed to me. We've got, this is one of the things I'm going to be teaching the church where I was saved, are just even those four invitations. And how we've got to get back, folks, to going to him. I can remember a generation of people when I was a little boy that when something happened, that's where they went. I can remember, and this is country stuff. You may not understand all of it. I'll try my best, but I can remember when people were raising tobacco, and whether you like that or not, it doesn't matter. I was raised around it as a crop. And I remember people would get hurt. They'd hurt their back, and they couldn't do work in their tobacco patch. And people would take care of that person's tobacco patch before they took care of their own. That they let them use their irrigation system before they irrigated their own. And you know why they did that? Because they trusted the Lord. One of the churches that I pastored, this is a crazy story, that I pastored, because I'd like to read the history of it. And this church started in a very rural area of Greene County. And this man, he was a well-known farmer, a go-to kind of guy in the area, in the community. And he wasn't a believer. And they just kept ministering to him, and he came to Christ. And they had just planted this church, this rural country church. And they just planted the church, and he came to them, and he had worked hard all those years in an old-fashioned way and paid for his, raised his crops and his animals, his cattle, his livestock, and paid off his farm. And he came back to that church, and he laid the deed of his farm down on the desk in the office of that church. And he said, if this church doesn't make it, he said, you sell my farm 1 acre at a time to make sure that this church makes it. Where is that today? Where is that? Where is that? You get mad if somebody gets you seat. Where is that faith and trust in a mighty hand of God that we're going to make it? You know that we're going to make it. I remember our home church, one that Dee grew up in, that it had burned, and they were building it back. And the very first Sunday they were in their new church, they increased all their mission giving on that very Sunday. Where is it that you and I submit? And it's stuff that goes beyond logic. That you and I submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God, who's a delivering God. And that we live there in such an incredible way that it's stuff that it just baffles your mind. It's hard to be able to explain what happens. I'm just telling you today, don't live life so fast that it's your life that you leave him out of it. Please include him. Some of us are going through things just because we don't submit. And we submit ourselves under the mighty, delivering hand of God. And you're going to see incredible things begin to happen. In this verse, we cast all of our anxiety on him. And you're going, well, preacher, if I do that, I'm going to be talking to him all the time. What a stellar and noble idea. I'm going to be spending all kinds of time with him. Well, hallelujah. Maybe you'll have the glory that Moses had on his face when he spent time with the Lord. Moses didn't have to tell people, I've been with the Lord. The glory of the Lord was on him. Because when he left him, it stayed with him. So it becomes an incredible picture that we continually take our anxieties and give them over to him over and over and over. Worry, anxiety, and doubt, they can lead to doubt. They hang out together. They hang out together, and they can occupy your mind and your life. Look at Philippians 4, 6, and 7 for a moment. It confirms everything that Peter writes. Paul confirms it. Don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious, your verse may say, your version. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And look at the word thanksgiving there for just a moment. I'm not talking about a Thursday in November, even though that's a good Thursday in November. But I am talking about, we're finding out today, just in secular clinical work, not Christian, not spiritual, we're finding it across the board, that if you are a thankful person with thanksgiving, that thanksgiving and anxiety can't occupy the same spot. But I mean, the Lord already knew that. That we do this and we could just say, pray with petition, tell the Lord about it, but there's a little line in there that says with thanksgiving. Because when you live a life of gratitude, Paul repeats this over and over, overflow with thanksgiving. We mention it, I mentioned it so many times, you've tuned me out. I've become Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. You know? That it's with thanksgiving that a grateful heart won't be an anxious heart. Why? Because we're thankful for what he's done and we're looking toward what he will do. Remember, we need to have faith that God can, but we do more than that. We step up and trust him that he will. And that's who we are in our life. So we see that praying is casting from your heart. What are your fears? What are your doubts? What are your worries? You cast them to the Lord and you're going to go, well, I do it over and over. Well, then we do it over and over. But then we're submitting ourselves under the mighty hand of God, which is a delivering hand of God. We invite Jesus literally into those places where there's great emotional pain. There's emotional pain in the memories and in the wounds. And there's incredible uneasiness. In our discipleship making, our attempts that we do here, we call that tension. Where do you invite the Lord? Well, wherever there's tension. Wherever the tension is where you invite the Lord for the mighty hand of God to bring deliverance. And when we get into verse 7, it says, if we pray, it says, then there's the peace of God, which surpasses your understanding, your thoughts, which matches Proverbs. Don't lean to your own understanding. It's beyond logic. And he will guard your hearts and your minds in and through Christ Jesus. We experience the peace of God. And the reason we do this, the reason that we cast our anxieties to him, is the main reason is because he cares for you. There's the compassion of Christ for you. Even in our pastoral prayer, I will tell you that ask the Lord to bless what you've brought today in giving. But remember, you are a greater offering. You are a greater offering to him. And he cares for you. It's a constant care. It's an ongoing care. I used this when we were preparing for Bible school at Psalm 55:22, and I was talking about burdens, and kids aren't a burden. That we have burdens, but kids aren't burdens. And they're blessings. And remember, I said they're rowdy blessings. And then we had some of those rowdy blessings during vacation Bible school. Well, what do you do with your burdens? You cast them. The psalmist wrote long ago, cast your burden on the Lord. He will support you, and he will never allow the righteous to be shaken. I got excited when I wrote down what I'm about to give you today, that when we include him, what's taking place? When we include him and we cast our anxieties, our worries, our doubts, our fears, all those things to him, heaven has become involved. All of heaven has become involved. Let's go to the model prayer where the Lord taught us to pray. And he said, pray that your will be done on earth. You want to finish it for me? As it is in heaven. So when I bring it to him, then heaven is getting involved into my situation. Yes. Totally getting involved into my situation. When I take it to him and I cast to him, the Trinity is involved. The Father and the work of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's just beautiful for him to be involved. And then as we've even been singing today, especially that new song, Resurrection Hope, Logan and I have been sharing this back and forth. It's Aaron Williams. I know he's already told you, but we've fallen in love with his music and his writing. But when I cast it to the Lord, I'm asking the resurrection power of Christ to be involved as well. It's the mighty hand of God. So we call on the mighty hand of God to deliver us, to deliver us. It's not designed for you to carry that all on your own. Didn't the Lord tell us to trade your yoke for his? And even though he gives us a yoke and we need restraint, that's what yokes do. You don't need to be footloose and fancy free. That's part of the problem. The restraint he gives you is lighter. It's lighter. He even tells us that. I just want you to see that. What are you going through? Are you trying to carry it all on your own? Well, quit it. Find a time and be alone with the Lord and give him your worries and your doubts and your fears and your concerns, your anxieties. Do that. When we do that, we're calling on heaven. We're calling on the Trinity. We're calling on the resurrection power of Christ. We're calling the mighty hand of God to begin to work in our lives. And if you want the mighty hand of God to be able to work, we're like, well, Lord, I think you need to work here, there, and yonder. Let's just say, Lord, let your mighty hand begin to work in me. Let's begin in me. And remember, it's a grace move. Don't forget that. He's doing to you and for you what you don't deserve, but he does it out of his love and his compassion. So today, let's humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God and let's cast our anxieties on him. And the major reason is this, because he loves you. His compassion is for you. Let's pray together. Father, I pray over our people today. Not that we got information today, but that we got clarity and understanding today. We got a word from you. We've gathered here, Father, to acknowledge you, what you have done through your Son, his cross and sacrifice and suffering, his resurrection and the power that of that that still lives within us. Lord, we're here to celebrate that, to worship that. We're here to gather around your word today. Lord, I didn't read out of the Reader's Digest today. I read out of your word today. And your word says that if we come to you, submit ourselves to you, then your mighty hand, your delivering hand begins to work in our lives. And Father, forgive us where we've done it on our own. We've carried way too much weight on our own. Our backpack has been way too big and it's not designed for us to handle what we've been trying to handle. Forgive us that we haven't submitted, that we haven't come to you, we haven't called on you, we haven't cast to you, and that we haven't confessed to you. And today, let's start. Would you put yourself today under the mighty hand of God, a delivering hand, a victorious hand? It's in the name of Jesus that I pray and we pray together. Amen. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. Church, I'm gonna ask you to stand, counselors. I'm gonna ask you to find your spot if you will. And our team's going to lead us, and you come and respond. You be prayed for, prayed with, prayed over, whatever you need to do. It could be a day of surrender to you. You come.